the sector kind of embarks down this path of greening the sector when it comes to the relationship between climate and conflict?
I don't want to totally deny the theory of increased tension by different by more. I don't want to totally deny the theory of increased tension by different by more challenging climate settings. But that is also taking away very much from the political and other parts of the economic narrative of these why these refugees live. Greening energy is important, of course, and talking about CO2 emissions is of high importance, but that's their countries. Greening energy is important, of course, and talking about CO2 emissions is of high importance, but that's refugees, at the end of the day, are victims. And that is, in a way, one way or another, is excusing that refugees, at the end of the day, are victims. And that is, in a way, one way or another, is excusing the entire case by putting it into another bigger theme. So I would always use the word of climate change and refugees in very much cautious by putting it into another bigger theme. So I would always use the word of climate change and refugees in very much cautious. And sometimes it's just like it's taken for granted in a human way in many cases.
I want to now invite the... I want to now invite the other panelists to join us on stage. And I think it's worth clarifying. So when Mohammed said... not to depoliticize the Syrian conflict by linking it to climate change, and I think we were discussing yesterday that yes, let's address climate change, but not at the cost of saving the lives of refugees. Like, you're not going to start fighting climate change in the refugee camp. If you have to choose. But I think the general message here is that we don't need to create a false dichotomy between saving lives and helping the environment. And while green responses haven't traditionally been a priority helping the environment, for the humanitarian sector, nor the refugee sector in particular, this has been, we've